Welcome to the Exec MBA podcast. I'm your host, Brett Twitty, and you are listening to a new episode. On this episode of the podcast, I'm excited to share my recent conversation with Kate DeLacy. Kate is a second-year student in our Executive MBA class of 2022, and she and I recently connected via Zoom to talk a bit more about her background, how she decided to pursue an MBA, her adjustment to life as an Executive MBA student, and so much more. I think you're really going to enjoy this conversation. So without further ado, here's my interview with Kate DeLacy. Kate, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Brett. Happy to be here.
It's great to have you here. Well, happy belated Thanksgiving. How was your holiday?
Thank you. It was a very enjoyable holiday. I got to go down to Virginia Beach and see my in-laws and my niece and nephew. So lots of family and food and fun. How was your holiday?
It was good. You know this from our warm-up conversation prior to the podcast. I spent an inordinate amount of time, I think that's fair to say, watching the Beatles documentary. I even woke up at 5 a.m. on Saturday morning just to make it all the way through the whole thing before anybody else in my family needed the TV. So,
wow, that's commitment.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. Glad to hear you're doing well. So we always start with the same first question for these conversations. Tell us a little bit more about you. Who are you?
Yeah, absolutely. So as you know, Brett, my name is Kate DeLacy. I am a second year in Executive MBA class of 2022. I'm a DC native. Well, not to upset anyone, I'm an Arlington, Virginia native who grew up adjacent to DC my whole life. I actually currently live in Maryland now, which is a whole different, very long story. But I work in DC in the financial services industry, and just love the city and love everything about the area. So that's sort of a quick blurb on me. Happy to go in depth in any way.
For the sticklers out there, I suppose you have to introduce yourself as being from the DC metro area, which doesn't narrow things down at all. I say that as someone who's constantly sharing that we're a DC metro area based program.
Well, and in defense, I've lived in Arlington, I've lived in DC proper, and then I now live in right outside of College Park, Maryland. So I really have covered all three states of the DMV.
Yeah, that's a lot of coverage, and you know, I guess you're close to an IKEA now. So
yeah, I'm so close.
All right. Well, talk to us a little bit more about your MBA journey. You mentioned you're now in your second year of the program, but how long did you think about getting an MBA? Was it, you know, something you thought about for a long time? Was it a more recent thought? Walk us through that.
Yeah, absolutely. So for me personally, when I graduated undergrad, and if you had asked me if I thought that I was going to get a secondary degree in any type, I would have honestly laughed at you. I just was not something that I ever thought would be my future. But I found myself in the finance industry after graduation. I have a liberal arts degree in communication, and realized that I really wanted that to be my career path. And so through that work, through work and through experiencing that, I started to realize that I needed more credentials and more skills and just to build out sort of my base. So probably about 2 years before I started at Darden, I started looking into MBA programs. I looked into full-time programs. I looked at part-time programs. I was very hesitant to look at executive programs just because I didn't have a ton of work experience, but was very fortunate to have some peers at my job that had gone through the Darden experience, and they were really supportive of the executive program. Spent about 2 years looking at it, did the whole GMAT test studying craziness. And then with COVID, realized that kind of now or never, it was a great time to jump in and see if, you know, I had a lot of time at home. I was ready to just work on something else with my spare time. And so that led me to apply with you guys, and was just so excited to start at Darden. And it's been, you know, even with the COVID craziness, it's been just a fantastic experience.
Well, I appreciate your note around executive and maybe the way that you interpreted that word, because honestly, a lot of prospective students are right there with you. And I think we probably spend as much time on calls and webinars explaining to people that executive doesn't necessarily mean a type of person, or you don't have to be at X number of years. I think people typically assume you have to be pretty senior to do this kind of program. I mean, the preferred work experience minimum for our executive MBA is 5 years of work experience. And as you know from your class, you've got a pretty wide work experience range in that group.
No, and I think as well, you know, learning more about the Darden programs, you know, the residential program and the executive program, one thing that really stood out to me for Darden was that we had the same professors for a lot of the courses and you took the same courses. And so it didn't feel like it was, because it's not, like it was tailored to an older audience or a more experienced audience. It's just a different format in reality.
Yeah, I appreciate you're making that note. People always ask who's teaching these classes. And of course, it's one degree at the end of it. Everybody earns the same credential. That's the other thing that we get asked a lot about. Is it an executive MBA? Does it say something different on the diploma? Like, I think trying to find some sort of fine print in there. But Darden very intentional about, you know, four formats at this point of one MBA. So there's a lot of important commonality across.
I would just add quickly in there too, though, don't think that the executive MBA is in any way less work or less time intensive.
I think it's fair to say, as I've spoken with both current students, but particularly alumni reflecting on their 21 months or so in the program, you do have a significant feeling of accomplishment after having done the program.
Yes, I'm very much looking, even just apply. So we got the email recently to apply to graduate through Darden, because I'm sure from an administrative perspective, they have to get all that stuff ready early. And even just finishing the, you know, application for graduating was a huge accomplishment. You're like, wow, I'm really like almost done with this. We're getting to it.
Starts to feel real. I want to go back to something you mentioned. I'm sure some of our listeners are wondering a bit about how do you go from being a communications major to working in the finance industry?
It's not a typical path, is what you're telling me.
not at least in my understanding, although I could be wrong.
No, it is not typical. And it is not, again, similar to getting my MBA, not somewhere that I expected to find myself. 22-year-old Kate was apparently in for a lot of surprises. So when I graduated with a degree in organizational communication, I was just kind of looking for a real job. I had worked in restaurants for all of college. I actually helped open a bunch of restaurants in the DC metropolitan area during my time in undergrad. And so wanted to get a little bit more business exposure. I'd run a restaurant. I'd done that. And so started looking at companies, and there's a number of financial services firms, DC metropolitan area, which people don't think of. It's not just New York. It's actually spread out pretty widely across the United States. And so I was fortunate enough to have an opportunity to get into a program that specifically hired liberal arts majors to learn about finance. So the team that I worked on was trained on the financial aspects of it, but what they wanted were our communication skills, our customer service skills, and then they figured they could kind of explain to us how the finance worked, what a stock versus a bond was, all those fun things, which, to be totally honest with everybody, my first day of work at a financial services firm, I did not know the difference between a stock and a bond. Like, could not have known less about finance. but really, really enjoyed a lot of it. And I think that is something that I probably, if you ask some of my classmates, I talk about a lot, is that there's so much more to finance than just the stocks and the trading. There's, you know, the pieces, there's the client interaction, there's just the whole world, like the whole institutional investing space is massive and important and very influential. And so the longer I was in finance, the deeper I got into it, the more I started to really appreciate all the nuance. And so had an opportunity to lead the team very early on in my career. And that was when on the hedge fund and long only equity space. And that was really when I realized, wow, I want to keep doing this. I want this to be my career path, but I need more hard skills. I need something else to back me up.
When I think about my friends who spent time in the restaurant industry on a professional basis, I mean, that's such a vocation. Like, you live that work. Yes. You're there. Do you miss that work at all?
I do sometimes. It's actually where I met my husband. So we both are no longer in restaurants, but still have, you know, a huge swath of very dear friends from that. when I go out to eat, especially at a new restaurant, I think about like all the different things that I would do or like how I could help them. And so there's definitely aspects of it that I miss. I like things that are really fast paced, which is part of why finance works well for me. So I get that fast paced environment. But there's definitely an adrenaline rush and a camaraderie that you get in a restaurant that I don't know that you get in any other vocation that I've experienced. The joke that I always make is when you have somebody upset because they want a well-done steak and you have a medium rare steak, there's literally only one thing you can do to make a medium rare steak well done. And that time in between is the most stressful 10 minutes of your life.
It's true. You talk about immediate customer feedback and
yes.
That stuff's really sticky now too, with the internet and the way that reviews work. And
it's a whole, I am glad that I got out of restaurants before Yelp and all these other things really took off. And I've been so impressed. I do still have friends that work in the industry and a couple of friends that own restaurants in DC. And I've been so impressed with how they've rebounded during COVID, how they've adapted. So it is, well, not my profession anymore. It is a really impressive profession.
Yeah, it's one of the things that's been interesting about DC over the, I guess, recent years is its emergence as one of the restaurant cities in the United States. And I think it was the New York Times, like, dining destination of the year a couple of years or a few years ago. And I don't think most people would have thought DC and restaurants in that same kind of way if you go back in time a ways.
It absolutely was not when I started working in restaurants 12 years ago. It absolutely was not a destination. There were like six good restaurants in DC and you were lucky to work in one of the six restaurants. but it's been just amazing to see. I mean, we have Michelin star restaurants. We have double Michelin star restaurants now. We have such a wide array of cuisine. I mean, it's so much more fun to go out and find somewhere to eat in DC now. And you can find really fantastic food at so many different price points. It's been awesome to see that. I feel a little bit like I'm doing a podcast for getting people to move to the DC metropolitan area, but well, I love it. So I'm totally okay with that. It's great. It's great to live here.
Well, we talk with the students who are out of town, you know, commuting in for the program about the perks of being in the area. And we do mention restaurants and the nightlife that DC has, because I think people think, oh, government town, maybe a little bit sleepy or sleepier, and it's just not the case.
No, I mean, you have Spoglina in the first floor of the building that the Sands Family Ground is on, and you walk across the bridge and you have all the restaurants in Georgetown. Like you could walk to probably 10, 15 restaurants from school that I would recommend people go to.
It's a good location. So Kate, I want to talk with you a little bit about your first year. So you talked about the learning curve that you'd experienced in your career, going from restaurants to the finance industry. Imagine coming in as a first year student in the executive MBA program. There were some learning curves. I mean, what was that first year like?
Just a handful of them, yeah. So our first year was definitely a great learning experience and a testament to sort of the trial and error concept. For me at least, I didn't fully know how I was going to structure my time, how I was going to kind of integrate classes and OGR weekends into my schedule. And so I would say the first, and my class is obviously unique because for the first, whatever it was, three quarters, we were fully remote. And so it was Zoom weekends, which was a whole different thing as well. But I think a couple of the things that I really learned for me that stood out were how quickly we all relied on each other. So I'd heard from other people that did MBAs that, you know, there's a competitive environment sometimes, or you maybe have like a small little team that helps you out, but not as much on the wider scale. And as soon as we got into our first decision analysis class, our first DA class, it just became so apparent that we all would need to help each other. And that it was going, there's no chance that you could do it. I mean, there are people in the class who can do it alone, and I applaud them. They're very, very bright, very accomplished people. I could not have done it alone. So between my learning team, between my classmates, figuring out what we needed to do, sending helpful reminders was just crucial for all of us. And you know, I don't have obviously, as we talked about with my communication background, I don't have super hard skills. So things with Excel, creating models was not something that I could kind of contribute to, but I absolutely benefited from. So for me, it was finding other ways to contribute, like offering to hear somebody give their presentation and practice or take notes if somebody was, you know, distracted during a part of class. Everyone's had so many really exciting and cool life events during the first year, which was pretty amazing, that you also start to lean on people because there may be that one class that your two-year-old was running around in the background. And so we all know that you maybe were a little busy. but that was probably the biggest thing from the first year, was just learning how quickly we needed to lean on each other and how quickly you kind of adjust to figuring out your time. I will say my first finals week, I procrastinated and took all of my finals on that Sunday. Could not recommend anything less to anyone. So you also just kind of learn from doing things not the best way and realizing like, okay, this actually made my life miserable. So I need to be a little bit more proactive. That was definitely a big shift for me.
I've talked with a lot of students and alumni on this podcast, and occasionally we'll talk about exams, and occasionally people will share time hacks or the approach that they've taken during the exam week, where really kind of set your schedule, you take the exam anytime there. I have not ever had anyone tell me that they took all of the exams on the same day. I feel for you.
I would not recommend it. It's not good. I just remember sitting there and realizing like, no, I did this to myself. And then what's really great is when it was quarter five, I took behavioral decision-making with Manel, and we talked about sort of the behavioral decision of procrastinating. And I was sitting in class listening to him explain it. And I was like, oh yeah, that's me. Those are the choices that I made that made things very difficult. So it really came full circle, which was great. The other thing that I will say for the first year is it's very time intensive. Like, you have to figure out how it fits into your life. And it does, in my mind, for me personally, it fits into my life. So I don't feel like I'm, you know, completely antisocial or missing out on friends and family. It's just, you have to prioritize when you're going to do the school stuff, and then you have the time to do the other stuff. And so probably by around the end of the second quarter, I noticed a lot of my classmates, myself included, we're starting to find that balance a little bit more. So it is really tough up front. Like, you do feel like, oh my gosh, I'm never going to have enough time. This is my life now. But you do start to find that balance, and you do still have your life. It just fits into your life.
Well, I want to go back to something you mentioned about first DA class, realizing very quickly that you were going to all have to help each other, support each other, lean on each other. One of the things that's interesting to me about being at least proximate and around students going through this experience is there's this real collaborative spirit. People are working together, helping each other. I don't know if that's everybody's undergrad experience or, you know, prior educational experience. Most people think of education as like, I'm studying, doing homework, all of these things, largely a solitary pursuit.
Yeah, it's 100% was not my undergrad experience. But there's very little that is, if you want it to be, that needs to be solitary from the MBA experience. It's funny, for DA, I actually, most of my classmates who are in my class will remember this one DA class where I was asked to share my spreadsheet, which was not something that I was particularly strong at, but I was like, okay, sure, I'll share my spreadsheet, why not? And I had forgotten to turn my Teams messaging off, my pop-ups, while I was sharing my spreadsheet. And so I must have gotten 25 pop-up notes from classmates who were helping me as I was going through my spreadsheet or trying to like help me answer questions. And then very quickly it turned, once they realized that the pop-ups were showing up on the Zoom, it very quickly turned to more classmates telling me that my team pop-up was on and like sending me directions on how to turn it off, which I obviously couldn't do in the middle of a Zoom screen share. But it was hilarious while also mortifying at the time. But I think that's just the best example of the level of involvement. So if somebody's on the Zoom, if somebody's vulnerable, if somebody's trying to answer the questions, you don't necessarily know the answers. You absolutely have 10, if not like me, 20 classmates who are then trying to talk to you, trying to help you. Not that they're going to get any credit for it, but just because they see you, they have the information or they have an idea and they want to support you. And that 100% flows through to when you're studying, when you're working on a project. I sent a note around to my learning team last night because we met with my separate team met with a professor about our final project, and it was a super helpful meeting. And so I sent a note around to those that I'm sort of the closest to in the program and said, hey, tell your team to do this because it's awesome. So there's no lack of sharing resources. There's no sort of individuality within the cohort. And that's just not how undergrad is. I don't know if it's maybe because we're all working and so we kind of need each other to support one another. But it's really impressive. And it's, I would say across the board, there's 140 of us in the cohort. Every single person in the cohort is willing to help.
Well, one of the questions that we haven't talked a ton about on the podcast, but I was thinking about putting the questions together for this conversation, is how does the second year compare to the first year? This is something that comes up a bit on the Experience Darden podcast as we talk about how people just continue to stay busy, even though, you know, they're setting their schedule and they're out of the sort of intensity of the core. But what has your experience been like as a second year student? Do you feel like it's getting easier, or maybe you're just adding more things to your plate? What does that look like?
Oh, I mean, as a second year student, I've just absolutely figured everything out. I know where my life is going. I've answered all the big questions now. I'm good. I can basically graduate tomorrow, Brett. You can just tell them, let me go. So I think for me personally, I was thinking about this a lot during our last OGR, because the one thing that you do sort of rush into is first year becomes second year overnight, basically. There's not a big hoopla around it. And so we're a bit into our second year now. And I was at our last OGR 2 weekends ago. And it was hearing all of my classmates talking about how they're leveraging the MBA now. So we have people that got new jobs. We have people that are working towards, you know, networking. We have some people that have used this as an opportunity to kind of market themselves and their company. And so it was really, for me, it was really cool to hear and to feel it myself of just, wow, you know, we're over a year into this program. We've gotten through core. We're now really thinking about the electives we want to take, what we want to do with this after we graduate. And so it was even more of seeing people use what they've learned and use the MBA and apply it in the real world. And almost everyone I spoke to was doing that in some capacity. It wasn't like every single person was getting a new job. That's not what it is, but it's just that it's so integrated into our lives now that I don't think we even realize sometimes the levers we're using that are based on the MBA. And that to me is the biggest shift with second year. There's just as much work. Electives are just as challenging as core classes. I don't want people to think that it's like, you know, a second semester senior the way it is in undergrad. If you have questions about that, I'll send you my valuations problem set because it's a bear. But it's really cool. And I'm so impressed to see everyone start to integrate it and start to it's just a natural part of how we think about things. It's a natural part of how we're engaging with the world. And I was just honestly so struck by that at the last OGR, talking to so many different people. That's probably the biggest shift to me is the first year. You're just like, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what I want to do. And we still don't know what we want to do. We're all still, you ask most of the MBA 22s, we're still like, we don't know what we want to be when we grow up. We're hoping somebody will tell us. But it's been so interesting to watch people just really use the skills and to see it in real life.
How do you feel like the program has impacted your work? It sounds like things have been pretty busy for you at work based upon our conversation before we got started here. And any of that you want to share?
Yeah, absolutely. So for my work personally, and I think it's given me the opportunity to see a lot of different avenues within my company. So when I started at Darden, I was working in investor relations, which is where most of my background has been. I was a senior analyst in investor relations. I actually, in the middle of my first year, was promoted to be director of investor relations. So I give Darden a pat on the back for some of that. But for me personally, I've just seen what I wanted to have happen. So I have a better understanding of the analytical side. I'm working more with, you know, modeling and with understanding strategy through my classes. And so it's been really great to see the opportunities to apply that at work. And you know, there's some specific projects I've been able to work on where like I know I didn't have that skill set a year and a half ago, and it's been wildly valuable to me in my job to be able to display that to them. Nothing finalized yet, but I'm definitely one of those people who is currently trying to just think about how I can leverage the MBA within my own career path and have those conversations. And I find that my work and those that I talk to in my industry are very responsive to an MBA and do see the value pretty immediately. And so for me personally, it's exciting to be able to start talking about it and to start thinking about, okay, this is what I'm going to be doing when I graduate. And there's so many more doors open to me because of that.
Well, how have your career goals evolved? I think one of the things that's fun and to hear you talk about, and I think it's very true and authentic to this executive MBA student experience, maybe a little bit of a surprise to our student listeners, is that, you know, the time in the program for the vast majority of students is about career exploration and just kind of seeing what's possible, whether it's within your firm, it's outside of your existing company, maybe it's launching your own venture. It's just exploring broadly.
So, and for me, that's 100% true. When I started the program, I was a switcher. I was like, I want these skills, but I don't want to keep doing what I'm doing. I want to do something else within this industry, or I want to move and do something that, you know, can pull from my background, but is a whole new exciting challenge. And through the MBA, through Darden, through my time at school, just through talking to my classmates and hearing about what they're doing, listening to some of the alumni panels, there are a lot of aspects of my job that I really like. And there are a lot of aspects of my industry that I love. And so it really has shifted for me to be much more of a climber. So I don't know that I would have seen the opportunity to have some of the conversations that I'm having now about different roles within the organization, different roles that I just would not have thought, much more on like the finance operational side, that I would not have thought that I wouldn't have felt comfortable in, that are really exciting and offer me a whole new array of opportunities within my industry that I definitely wasn't even thinking about prior to Darden, and now have had the opportunity to sort of learn more from classmates who are doing things like that, talk to professors about it, and now I'm talking to my, you know, to my bosses basically about like, hey, could you see me here? What would you want to see to get me there? So for me, 100%, I thought that I was going to do something much more traditional from an MBA perspective and switch to, you know, consulting or something. That's one of those paths that you just know MBAs go to. Because again, I didn't really know what I wanted to be when I grew up. And switching to a real climber has been a change for me.
Well, I appreciate all the self-reflection and all the conversations that you've had along the way. That's one of the, we talk about networks in the program, and your most immediate network, it's obviously your classmates who are all working and doing things and in this space of exploring and kind of seeing what's possible. Hard to find like 140 people in the world, bring them all together and, you know, be together going through the same experience at the same time, asking these kind of questions. That's not the easiest thing to come by.
No. And it's so incredible to think about the conversations that you end up having. I mean, I have it, just the fact that these aren't people that I would interact with from a professional perspective. We have so many doctors in the class that I'm having like real conversations about their career and providing perspective to them when they talk about it. And then obviously our careers probably aren't going to intersect. I'm not going to get into the medical field at this point. But it's a lot of similar questions. It's a lot of, you know, what does my future growth look like? How am I going to be spending my time? What do I want to be doing 10 years from now? And so I've learned so much from the conversations with classmates. And then I would also say something that I was definitely not expecting is now that we're all in this kind of space where we're having conversations with our employers or people are searching, I've had so many classmates that have, you know, maybe networked with somebody or looked at a job or interviewed and it's not the right thing for them, or they think that it's somebody that I should get to know. And so there's also just been like this kind of ripple effect of their networking also coming back to you, which is just, it's so cool to see. And it's industries that I never would have interacted with. You know, I don't have anything to do with the defense space. We have so many veterans that there's a lot of people who are working in all these different fields within that space. And I've learned so much more about just how many different types of companies there are there. And that goes for pretty much everything that all of my classmates do. There are people in the class that I didn't even know that was a job until I talked to them. I'm pretty sure they would say the same thing to me, that they didn't know that my job was a job. and so it's really cool. It's really stimulating, and it's really great. Like it really extends your opportunity.
Well, what are you looking forward to in the months ahead? You've got a couple quarters and another leadership residency and then you're done. So what are you looking forward to?
In the immediate future, Brett, I'm looking forward to the winter break. That's in just over 2 weeks. I'm trying not to leave those finals to the last Sunday this time. I'm really looking forward to some of the classes that we're taking in the spring quarters. So that's right now something that's really exciting. I'm very sad when I think about that we only have 4 OGRs together again. Like that made me very sad this last OGR. But some of the classes are going to give us the opportunity to get together. And so I'm going down to Charlottesville for a week-long course. LR2, we're all going to be together. So I'm just really excited to continue this sort of deeper dive where people are focusing on the classes that are most interesting to them or that are, you know, based on the focus area they want to have, and see kind of how that changes conversations that we have down the line. And then obviously I'm very excited to graduate.
I think those are all fair things to look forward to. Graduation is always such a fun time to everybody's there, the residential class, the executive MBA class, and the executive MBA students. We finally get to put all the pieces of the puzzle together. Like, you know, we've heard about their families. We've heard about their kids. We haven't always met these folks and get to see everybody. And it's nice to kind of see the support or the group of people who are in the student's corner as they navigated the program. We know that no one gets through this program on their own, whether classmates, folks at home, folks at work. And so graduation is always a tremendous time.
Yes, no, I'm very excited. I would also be remiss. I realize I spoke a lot about my classmates, my family in particular, and my husband have been wildly supportive this entire process. I could not get through it without my classmates and without my family.
No, that's fair. I figure that the family contribution, like they're integral, and I they're absolutely essential to what our students are doing. I think about all the things that family members, you know, pick up when the student has to step away, or they've got weekend residency, or they got exams. I mean, it's a it's a collective enterprise going through an executive MBA program. I don't know if maybe prospective students realize that, but we stress it's such a critical conversation to bring your partner into this decision and help that person understand what the time commitment might look like. And of course, continue to check in. What was that process like for you, Kate?
I was very fortunate. My husband is incredibly supportive and my family live close by and they were very supportive, but it definitely has been for him and I, an adjustment of, you know, there are weeks where I have class and then I have a learning team meeting pretty much every night. And especially going into OGRs where I'm going to be gone for 2 nights, you know, 3 days, basically, I'll have a ton of prep work that I have to do in the evenings. And then I'll be meeting with my learning team probably once or twice before that OGR, especially in your first year. And so it's just been a conversation of, you know, I can't make dinner for us because I don't have the time or the dishes. And so a lot of it was just sort of being on the same page. And when I don't have as much on my plate, offering to step up a little bit more, but really having those conversations with him earlier, just so that he and I were both on the same page about like, no, I get it. You've committed to this. We're investing a lot in you doing this. And so keeping him kind of abreast and letting him know when I was going to be at my busiest.
Well, last question.
By any means.
I doubt that it ever is for anyone doing an executive MBA program. That's actually one of the first things that we tell prospective students, admitted students, is you kind of have to let go of perfect. That is not going to happen.
No.
Well, last question for you here, Kate. And thank you so much for your great answers and for your candor over the course of the conversation. I wonder if you have a piece of advice that you would share with our prospective student listeners.
I feel like I have to be very wise here. besides my great advice to not stack all of your finals on one day. I think the biggest thing that I can say is it's really valuable as you go into the program to be really vulnerable. Similar to the question we just had, letting go of perfect is not an easy task for me, but there is so much support and you will get so much more out of the program if you open up to it. And if you really just kind of sit and take all the offerings and take all the collection from your classmates and really engage in that way. And the same when you're going through as a prospective student thinking about Darden, attend the things that you and Catherine are putting on Brett and really start to integrate into the Darden family. I don't think that because my undergrad experience was different, I didn't realize how much of a family it actually is and how much of a support system and how much it will change the way that you operate and the way that you see things, which is why we're getting the MBA. I would encourage everyone to really open up to that as soon as they can, because there's so much for you to gain from it. And I almost wish that I had opened up to it sooner, because I already feel like I missed out on stuff. So that would be my biggest piece of advice, is really start taking advantage of things, start being open to it as soon as possible.
Yeah, we always have a lot of pre-matriculation programming, whether it's social, helping you get to know your classmates, meeting students in the class ahead of you, the second year students, or who will be the second year students, is always a fun time, because we actually technically have three classes of executive MBA students coming together, right? We have the class that we're recruiting for, we have your class, and of course the first year students. And so it's fun to think about how we might build connections across those classes. And we've seen some interest from your class in particular in helping really activate that community and network.
So it makes me sad to think that there's a class that's already starting that we won't be involved in as much. That already makes me feel sad. That's so sad.
Well, don't worry, Kate. We will continue to ask you to help out with admissions events.
Excellent. And
those kinds of things. So, well, Kate, thank you so much for your time, and I hope you have a great rest of the week and happy holidays.
Thanks, Brett. You too.
And that was my interview with Kate DeLacy, a second-year student in our Executive MBA class of 2022. As always, if you have any comments, suggestions, requests, anything you'd like for us to cover here on the podcast, we're all ears. We can be reached at exec, that's E-X-E-C, MBA@darden.virginia.edu. Until next time, stay safe, be well, and thanks for listening.